Bible, did a lot of brainstorming in the Bible, talked about a lot of theology, and you miss a dear brother in Christ like that. Take your Bibles today, if you will, and turn to the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. I'm going to lay this microphone down here somewhere. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's appropriate that in the words of that song that Cindy just sang, how important to think about. Every week, one of the things that I always think about and pray about is, Lord, what would you, well, not only just every week, but oftentimes I know what I'm preaching way ahead of time, but I always try to be sensitive and feel the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do you want me to preach on? Where do you want us to go? What text? What verse? What topic? And to be sensitive to the needs of the congregation and what's going on, and then to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so this has been on my heart for a while. I just trying to pray about how to bring it all together and what to do. I knew at some point this year in 2015, I wanted to come back to the topic and preach on the topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Matter of fact, the other day, Carrie asked me in the office, she goes, what are you preaching on Sunday? And I said, you know, Carrie, I said, I got a pretty good idea of what I want to do. I said, but the Lord could change that between now and Sunday. She goes, well, I'm going to go ahead and put on the front of the bulletin on marriage. And so she did that and did a great job with it. But I'm going to change the title of the message today to family. I felt before I addressed the issue of talking about marriage and divorce and remarriage in the world that we live in, there's some things that we ought to look at in Scripture and that talks about family. I appreciate so much Pastor Bobby being on board with us here on the pastoral staff. And he and I have discussed some of this in the past and discussed it here recently. We'll be discussing it more in the days and the months to come. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean when we talk about pastor of youth and family ministries? And so he has a heartbeat for family ministries. I also have a heartbeat for family ministries and the family. And he and I are spending some time talking about some of that. We're going to be talking about more of that going forward. What exactly does that mean? And when you think about the local New Testament church, because God ordained three institutions. He ordained the family unit, he ordained the local New Testament church, and he ordained government. And so when you think about the three things within that, the framework of that, that we in the local New Testament church here, our responsibility is a little different than the family's responsibility. It's different than the government's responsibility. And yet I think that we in the church can come along beside the family and the family unit in a lot of ways and help. And so one of the things that I, as a pastor, because I visit with so many people, and oftentimes my phone will ring or somebody will say, hey, you got a few minutes, we can sit down and talk about something, and we do that, and oftentimes it's something that's going on in their family or in their life or what they're dealing with. And so my heart goes out to that. I get real sensitive to that, to the Lord, what, you know, and you want to try to help as a pastor the best way you can to go through, because I have a family. I my own family, and I deal with things in life just like you deal with things in life. And so as we look at this today, I think about family today, and one of the things, and you try to address, well, what is family? You know, I simply went and looked at, because sometimes, you know, I feel like in the Lord's work, we spend so much time together in the church house, God's family, that oftentimes we as Christians are more, familiar with and around and spend more time with our church family than we do with our own personal families and that. But let me share with you Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. You got your place in the Bible. There's a few verses that we want to read and kind of highlight. But we talk about the definition of family really is just really a household establishment. It's all the people. Webster defines it as all the people living in the same household, or a social unit consisting of parents and children whom they raise or whom they rear up. Defines it as children of the same parents, one's husband or wife and our children, or a group of people related by ancestry, marriage, called relatives. How many of you got a few of those? You got a few relatives, you got a few in-laws and a few outlaws, right? I don't know about you, I probably got the outlaws in my family and when you think about family, really family is the God-ordained institution by which we should nurture and which we should defend based on biblical truth. So just give you a few ideas here in Scripture. Look at it in Exodus 20. And if you will, in verse 12, the Bible says, and this is in the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth. Now turn over a few pages to Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. When Joshua gets to the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua 24 and verse 15, I'll kind of just walk you through these. And if you want to build a chain in your Bible, you can kind of build and reference them along the way. But I love Joshua when he gets to the end of his life and that he leaves us this verse in Joshua 24 down in verse 15. And this was his last charge to Israel before he goes home to heaven. And he says in verse 15, "And it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which their fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me," Joshua is saying here, "as for me and my house, as for his family, as the ones he's responsible for," Joshua is saying, "but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord." And what a great text of Scripture to realize that as a family, we have a responsibility and we make those choices, especially as fathers and grandfathers and those in the family. We have a huge responsibility to lead our family and make the choice and to lead the way and to be responsible. And Joshua did exactly that. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Go over to the book of Psalms, if you will. Find Psalms. And Psalm 103, verse 17. You find these verses throughout the Bible. You get down to Psalm 103, and in verse 17 and verse 18, the Bible says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, and to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." And again here, this is a psalm written by David talking about the children's children. And that we think about the importance of family, the importance of your children, the importance of your grandchildren, the importance of, like Joshua said, "as for me and my house, we are going to make a family choice to serve God." Over just a few more verses there in Psalm 127, verse 3. The psalmist gets down to verse 3 and he says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Think about that verse right there. Children are a heritage of the Lord. I'll never forget back in the late 70s when I was pastoring in the state of South Dakota. We got into a real legal battle in the state of South Dakota because there were families in the state of South Dakota that had chosen to homeschool their children and keep them on the farm, on the ranch that they had, and to homeschool them. And the state of South Dakota, the South Dakota Education Association, and the National Education Association began to bring suit against that, saying they cannot do that. You cannot do that. They were being challenged on the legal right to homeschool your children in your own home and that. So we got into a battle. We had a private Christian school there at the church that I pastored. We had about 110 students in that school. And we found ourselves being pulled into this legal battle. We literally had to hire an attorney in South Dakota, two attorneys in South Dakota. The Christian Law Association, Dave Gibbs, came to legally help to represent us. To make a long story short, here was the battle. The battle really was Psalm 127:3. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and they belong to him. And God has lent us in stewardship, given to us our children in the family unit. In South Dakota, in the state of South Dakota, they said, "No, the children belong to the state." We said, "No, they do not belong to the state." Ultimately, if as a father, as a mother, as a family unit, if you break down and do not carry out your family responsibilities, I realize that at times, through a certain process, the state may step in and that. But if we follow our biblical mandate, children that God has given to you and I belong to the Lord. He has just lent them to you and I for a short duration of time. Look over in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. The Bible says, "My son," Proverbs 1, 8, "my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Also, while you're there in Proverbs, look in chapter 22, Proverbs 22 there in verse 6. The Proverbs says, and you get down to Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from that." Go over to the New Testament now, if you will, just a few pages in your Bible, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. When we think about the family unit means many things to different ones and how it all comes together. But when you look in the Bible in the New Testament, you get over to Mark 10, And you get down to verse 6, it says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they two twain shall be one flesh. And so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Talking about marriage and the husband and the wife as they come together in holy matrimony, and how God designed the purpose of marriage. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. And why I want you to see these verses, because I'm going to preach a message today on there's six biblical foundations, principles, that I think today that we need to focus on. Look here in Ephesians 5, though, before we get to that. Ephesians 5, verse 22, talking again about the married life, husband and wife, as they come together being a spirit-filled believer, illustrating here really Christ in the church. He says here in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Skip down to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Again, talking about the family, talking about the husband, talking about the wife. Let me just give you another one here at Ephesians 6, verse 1. And he talks about children now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is what we read in Exodus 20, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Give you one. This is the last verse, 1 Timothy. Find 1 Timothy there, 1 Timothy 5, 8. And Paul gives us this verse. In 1 Timothy 5, 8, which simply says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So God really puts tremendous importance upon the family unit. And when you think about the family down through the years, as you look at it in the world and the society that we live in today, we deal with a lot of issues. I deal with things that I never dreamed that I, when I was sitting in a class in theology and going to Bible college and seminary, and some of the issues that you have to deal with today as a pastor of a local New Testament church. It's a wide variety of topics. And we as pastors are not experts on those topics. The only expert on those topics is the Word of God. So I come back to that. What a topic that I firmly believe in is a very important, and I always refer to it as nouthetic counseling. Nouthetic, in other words, taking the Bible. The Bible gives us the roadmap and the example of how to live, how to raise our families, how to be a good father, how to be a good mother, how to raise our children. If we will just follow the Bible and the Bible principles and the Word of God, it will help tremendously of how to live our lives individually and collectively as a family. I don't know about you, but my wife and I, our first son was born in 1975. So we grew up in the 1970s, and we'd never been parents before. And so one of the ministries that we attached ourselves to, because I thought it was really good on the family, was that of Dr. James Dobson. Dr. Dobson has had some great ministries over the years and ministered to thousands and thousands and thousands of. He's a trained clinical psychologist. It's interesting to read his story, his life story, and how God has used him to reach families. And so when you think about Dr. Dobson, the ministry there, Nate and I literally grew up on Dr. Dobson. And we would come to the crossroads of, what do you do? I've never been here before. As a father, as a mother, what do you do? How do you make this decision? And you're searching the scripture, and you're trying to apply common sense, you're trying to apply common wisdom to that, and then with that child that you've been given and that heritage there, and you're trying to make those choices. So you go to the Bible and the Word of God and try to do the best you can. You know, we learn on our children. By the time we get our children raised and the grandchildren come along, and I was with my daughter yesterday with our oldest granddaughter over at a football game, and I thought it was interesting because I love watching my children now parent their children, my grandchildren. I try to keep the hands off, and I don't try to say, "I told you so," and you know, all the little things that go along with that. You're reaping what you're sowing, sister, and kind of thing, you know. So I look at that, and I always used to remind my kids, one of these days you're going to be a parent, and I hope it comes back to roost right on your door. And guess what it is? We have 8 grandchildren. And I love, I never interfere unless they ask, Dad, what do you think? Okay, if they ask me what I think, I'll tell them. But sometimes I'll even say, do you really want to know, or are you just being, out of courtesy, ask me what I think? No, I really want to know what you think. So the challenges are today, we have a choice. We have a choice today, and just like Joshua had a choice in Joshua 24, 15, we have a choice today to choose either the philosophies and belief system, our own philosophies and belief system, or you can do one of two things today. You can either choose the humanistic notions of today's theories and philosophies and get your family guidelines and principles from the world system, or you can get them from the Bible. You can choose guiding principles based on wisdom of the Bible and the Judeo-Christian belief system. And if you choose that way, then you're choosing recommendations by God, our Creator, who ordained the family unit and gave it His blessings. Now, as I begin to study this message before we start down this journey, and the Lord's just kind of laid on my heart, and Pastor Bobby and I are going to be over the next 30 days or so here in the month of November preaching some of the messages around the idea of family and marriage and, divorce and remarriage, and what does the Bible say about all that? What does that mean to all that? And, my take, and as I walk away from it today, we live in a world of sometimes broken heartache and pain, struggling. Or sometimes people will come and they'll try to get help for whatever they're going through, and sometimes they will not come for help. They're going to say, we're going to figure this out on our own. We're going to try to, they'll not let anybody know what they're going through, and they'll try to navigate through troubled waters and broken family situations to get there. I just pray God would give all of us wisdom to do that. But as I look at these principles on which the family unit can live by, I kept coming back to, and I had to put this first and priority on the family, what's the most important thing in our family unit? And I think about the Bible and God's principles of the family, the husband, the wife, the children, and the heritage, and nuthetic counseling, and all that goes with it. And I think what we've got to come back to is back a little bit of what Cindy sang in that song. Lord, it's not my, but it's your will be done. It's the preeminence. And here's the principle number one, is the preeminence of evangelization, the preeminence of getting the Word of God out. And this is the belief that the ultimate purpose in life is to know and glorify God. The ultimate purpose in life is to know and to glorify God. And we as human beings sometimes got to check ourselves and say, I'm on a career path, and or the more money I can acquire, or the more fame I can get, or the more status I can have, or the more whatever. No, our responsibility, the preeminent responsibility in the family unit, comes down to that simple thing. The ultimate purpose in life is to know God and to glorify Him and to attain eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we don't have that as our preeminent purpose, then everything else that we pursue stops this side of life, 70 or 80, 90 years or whatever it is, and we leave it all behind. You take nothing of that with you. The only thing that you and I can take to heaven with us is our family. Our family, our friends, our neighbors that know Jesus Christ. The homes that we live in, the money that we have, the possessions that we have, all the earthly things that we've accumulated, that's all staying here. So the preeminent thing in this thing of the family unit, and that begins with our own families and reaches out to a suffering humanity that needs to embrace God's love as God gave His blessings upon the family unit. I shared with the Sunday School Hour a little bit ago. In the Wednesday night Bible study, we had a gentleman that walked in here, and my heart just went out to him immediately. And I had a hunch that he was homeless, but I didn't know that. And I didn't know that until maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours later. And so I felt that in our heart as a congregation that we need to be careful that in life we look for those that have need, and that if we have the ability within our possession to reach out and help somebody in need, by all means we should do that. And so we find that the responsibility we have as a family unit with our families is to reach out to a suffering humanity. There are others out there. And as we had an opportunity to do that even this week, I walked away from it just simply humbled from the standpoint that, but by the grace of God, there go I. What is the difference between you and I and somebody that on the street that's having it tough in life? And I realize we all make life choices. The responsibility we have in our family unit, is the preeminence of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the ultimate purpose in life is to know God and to glorify Him and to honor Him and to do all that we can do to make sure that those family, those ones around us that means the most, has eternal life and builds their life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the second, I think, principle when you think about it today in the world of the family unit. And we all know that the family unit, as God's first ordained divine institution, is under attack, has been for a long time. Satan would love nothing better than to derail the family unit. Do you know right now? The strength of the family, the first God-ordained institution, as strong as that is, will only be as strong as the church is, and will only be as strong as the government is. Our government is made up of families. Our church is made up of families. So you got to go back to the first unit right here, the God-ordained institution of the family. I appreciate it right now because our country is at a prayer crossroads of trying to pray for the next House Speaker in the U.S. House of Representatives. And I was kind of watching some of that a little bit this week, and Paul Ryan out of Wisconsin was not sure if he's going to run as Speaker of the House. And one of his concerns was his family. What does that mean to my family? If I run as the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, what does that mean from a time commitment and to my family and to my children? There's a lot of wisdom in that. Something you got to weigh out as we make career choices, as we make life choices, as we make the most important choice we have. We got to keep in mind that God has given to us that divinely ordained institution of the family and the unit that He's given to us. So the institution of marriage, you know, what is it? It's really the sacred covenant designed by God to model the love of Christ for His people and to serve both the public and the private good as a basic building block of human civilization. That's really what it comes down to. That marriage is a model. It's a model of Christ for His people to serve as a public and a private good for the basic building block of our human civilization. And so that's why I come back to, as strong as the family is only going to be as strong as the church is only going to be as strong as the government and the nation is, both on the state and federal level. So when you think about it, the permanence of marriage. Marriage is intended by God to be a thriving, lifelong relationship between a man and a woman enduring through all kinds of trials, sickness, financial crisis, emotional stresses. You just got to determine that no matter what comes at us, no matter what we create ourselves, no matter what Satan throws at us, quitting is not an option. Throwing in the towel is not an option. I was startled the other day. I was studying on this message, and I came across an article that said that in the world that we live in today, that many times people are not in it for the long haul, that they sometimes will go through stages of their life. And if it doesn't work out, then you know, then they'll get out of that relationship and move on. And I realize there's things beyond our control. There's things happen we can't control. But this thing of marriage is intended by God to be a thriving, lifelong relationship between a man and woman, enduring through trials. Do we as families have trials? Absolutely. I could probably, if we went around and interviewed everybody in here, everybody's had a trial or two in a marriage relationship. Some of us in here maybe have gone through sicknesses that have been life-changing sicknesses or emotional stresses or a financial crisis. Christians are called to defend and protect God's marriage design and to minister to Christ's name to those who suffer the consequences of brokenness. You know, it's interesting because as a pastor, just getting up and preaching on Sunday or teaching a Sunday school lesson, in my mind, that's the easy part of the ministry. I enjoy it. I enjoy all of it. It's the easy part. The hard part is the realities of life. How do you fix brokenness? How do you fix a heart full of pain? How do you fix a marriage that's on the rocks? How do you fix a child that's going through an extremely difficult situation that gets hard? And so Christians, though, you and I are called to defend and protect God's marriage design and to minister in Christ's name to those who suffer through that brokenness. In the beginning, God created the male and the female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And so we have a guiding principle there, and to realize the permanence. Marriage is to be permanent. Here's another principle, a guiding principle, I think, in the family unit that we need to think about today. And that is another guiding principle in the family is the value of children. The value of children. The Bible just told us in Psalm 127 that the children are a heritage of the Lord. They really belong to God. And in stewardship, I don't know what you've done, but my wife and I, when our children were real little, we dedicated all three of our children back to the Lord right after birth. We said, God, we understand this child, although born of the flesh, is ours, but God, they're yours. We thank you for that gift. We freely, willingly, choosing, giving back to you, give her back to you, and thank you that you've lent them to us for this time period. Comes back to stewardship. And so do you realize children are a heritage of the Lord and a blessing from God's hand? Parents are therefore accountable to God. We're accountable to God for the raising and shaping and preparing them for a life of service to God's kingdom and to humanity. Malachi 2:15, has not the Lord made them, husband and wife, one? In flesh and in spirit are they. And why one? Because God was seeking a godly offspring. So when you think about a guiding principle of the value of children, the responsibility is huge. Of guiding, nurturing, training, teaching a child from early on up. Let me give you another guiding principle. We think in the family unit that the challenges in the world that we live in today is the sanctity of human life. Human life is created by God in His image. Human life has worth and significance in all its dimensions. You just heard testimony of that from Cindy about their child, grandchild down in North Carolina. Every child has significance, including the preborn, the aged, the mentally disabled, those deemed unattractive, the physically challenged, every other condition in which humanness is expressed from the single cell stage of development to natural death. Christians are therefore called to defend and protect and value all human life. Psalm 139, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. When you think about today, the sacredness of sanctity of human life and that. And so when you think about the sanctity of human life, I was reading a thing. I went back and kind of looked at Roe versus Wade. Was come out and approved in by the Supreme Court in 1973. I was in Bible college in 1973. I remember exactly when Roe versus Wade, that was approved on abortion. So I just yesterday, out of curiosity, I pulled it up, Googled. You know you can find anything on Google, amen? And so I Googled it. How many abortions in the world today since Roe versus Wade? It was just shy of 55 million babies. For whatever reason, the sanctity of human life. You talk about the brokenness of the family and what's going on. Makes you wonder what goes through the minds of those people. I don't want this child. This child's not made whole, so I'm going to get rid of this child. Or I cannot afford to have another child, so I'm going to abort this one. Or whatever the reason is. I didn't touch anything, I don't think. And, you know, I'm going to abort this child for whatever reason. And so 55 million babies over time. Sanctity of human life. And so when you think about it, I think another guiding principle is the principle in the family is the importance of our social responsibility. And that is that God has ordained the social institutions of the family, the church, the government, for the benefit of mankind and really reflects His divine nature. And so as Christians, we're to support all three of those institutions. You and I should support the family unit, the church unit, and the government unit according to God's design and purpose and protect them from destructive social influences. Such involvement is an obedience to Christ's lordship over all creation as required by his command to care for the well-being of all people. Genesis 2:24, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, they'll become one flesh. Ephesians 1, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. Romans 13:1, everyone must submit himself, therefore, to governing authorities, therefore, for there is no authority except that which God established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Think about this. Another guiding principle in the world that we live in, the family unit today, is the value of male and female. God created human beings in his image, intentionally and mutably, male and female, and each bringing unique and complementary qualities sexually and to the relationship. Sexuality is a glorious gift from God, offered back to him either in marriage for procreation or union or mutual delight or in celibacy for undivided devotion to Jesus Christ. Christians are called to proclaim the truth and the beauty of God's design and the redemption of sexual brokenness in our lives and culture through Jesus Christ. And yes, God, if you take this Bible and you study it, has a plan, financial plan, and God's financial plan you cannot improve upon. God has a plan in the sexual relationships of life to that we are to follow and to guide. God has a plan for you and I. We just need to look into his word and to realize that his plan needs to be followed to find the joy and the peace and the contentment that satisfies the innermost being of the soul. So God created human beings. And when you look at this, Christians are called to proclaim that. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and that you be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the family is under attack today, and more so now than ever. The purpose of the family unit? To glorify God, to get his word out for eternal life, and to think about the responsibility. Once you and I come to a saving grace and knowing him and being born into his family, our concern should be the rest of our family and to begin to spread out from there and to go after everyone that we can with a vengeance to see them come to a saving knowledge of Christ. We know the population is growing, the family unit as a whole, the structure of it is under attack, and we find it's never been under attack more so now than it is today. The family is to be a permanent, the marriage is to be permanent. And you know, I've always said this, and I've been involved up close and personal, and I understand the pain that goes with us. I understand the dilemma that a lot of people are facing. But I understand this, too, that I think the ones that get hurt the most in brokenness of marriage is the children that have to go through that. I understand that. It's not easy. And so today, you know, when you think about the relationships in life, the family unit is strongly under attack. You think about the value of children is under attack. As we disciple a child, the responsibility to raise, to shape, to mold them into what God wants them to be. Parenting is hard work. I love being with my children. I was watching my daughter yesterday parent my granddaughter. I love it. I love that interaction. I just kind of sit and watch and listen to see what goes on, the time put in it, and all how the kids will talk about how much time it takes. Dad, do you know how much money it takes to raise a child? Yeah, I kind of do remember that. Do you know what kind of time commitment it takes to raise a child? Do you know what kind of time commitment it takes to be involved in all their activities? Yeah, I do remember that real well. It's a huge sacrifice to raise a family. The value of children is under attack. Sanctity of human life, as I said, Roe versus Wade, almost 55 million babies since Roe versus Wade in 1973. I really believe a sin that lies at America's doorstep. There's got to be an answer to God for that in society. Our social responsibilities of family, church, government this week, we talked about, as I mentioned to you, Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, the church will only be as strong as their families. I pray, you know, and I know that's what he was evaluating. Should I take this new responsibility? What does that mean to my family? I think everything should be weighed on. What does that mean to my family? If I do this, if I go this career path, what does that mean to my family and the responsibility we have? And the value today of male and female and the marriage unit. And so we have, you know, if you think about it today, and we live in a difficult world. I don't know about you, but it makes you, it's an interesting world to see that when men that were born men want to become women in our society. And women that were born women may want to become men in our society. We live in a broken society today in the world that we live in. And you look at that, and that is a learned behavior. That's not a genetic behavior. That's a learned behavior. The family unit today as a whole is a God-ordained, divinely instituted, ordained institution. And the only thing we can do is go back to the Bible and teach the Bible and take the Bible and try to live our lives individually. You say, well, what do I do? What do I do if I'm in a broken situation that's out of my control? I had nothing to do with it. The only thing I could encourage you to do is go to the Bible, study the Bible, and live by the principles that are in there and be a game changer. Make sure that you say, you know what? When it's my turn, I'm gonna live for God. I'm gonna follow the Bible. I'm gonna live by the principles. I'm gonna change our generation within our family. Because I don't know your background, where you're coming from, or what's going on. I just know that it can make a difference. I think every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. You say, well, what do I do? And I realize sometimes life gets difficult, challenges get difficult. Brokenness gets real, heartache gets real, pain gets real, and the struggle. And sometimes you just don't know what to do and where to turn to. The right answer is always you can't change the past. The past is the past, but you take the Bible, the Word of God, and you start from today forward. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to fellowship with Him. I'm going to let the Bible be my guiding principles for life in the family unit. Friend, today, if you're here and you're not saved, I'd encourage you to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and open your heart and life to Him and to be saved before it's too late. If you're here simply, there's so much help out there there's plenty of help. So all you got to do is go seek it out and find it. Whatever, if you're aware of a broken situation or you're in the middle of one, there's help available to all of us today in the world that we live in. Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson's ministry does a great job. Randy Carlson, I love on his intentional living, does a great job. And you could go right down the list. Wayne Mack does a lot of good things on nuthetic counseling and trying to put marriages and homes and families back together. There's plenty of help out there. What you got to do, though, you got to look at it and say, God, I'm going to be honest with myself, and I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to confess my sin, get right with you, and from this day forward, I'm going to try to live for you, that whatever's going on, I'm going to stand on the Bible. I'm going to be the best husband I can be. I'm going to be the best wife I can be. I'm going to be the best son or daughter I can be. I'm going to be the best grandparent I can be, according to the Word of God. And, you know, if you can do that, you can make a difference in your family, in your family unit. It'll make a difference in the church. It'll make a difference in the government and the world that we live in. Let's pray with every head bowed. Father God, today we thank you for the